God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. And I'm so thankful for his touch that we so close to us if we just reach out for it, even in this service this morning. Our scripture reading will come from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 9. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 9. Everybody got it? All right. The Bible says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?" Verse 11, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are, and ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." Verse 14, "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then this blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that, if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Can you say amen? Amen, amen to the Lord's word. Verse 9, our scripture text. "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in your house, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for the sword. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to help us and speak to our hearts. Thank you for the seed of your word that is planted in our hearts and brings forth fruit to the glory of God. I pray, Lord, that you will have your way, that you will stir and convict. And Lord, I pray that you will anoint me with fresh oil from the throne and with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I give you praise this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach from this verse of scripture on simply how turn ye again. Amen. How turn ye again? After ye have known God, or are rather known of God. After you have experienced what you have experienced, is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Galatians. After not only you have experienced in God, but the experience the weak and beggarly elements. Not only do you know what God can do, you know what sin can do. Not only do you know the blessings of God, you know the curse of bad choices. And yet, I'm looking at you, and I see you turn again. When you know what God can do, and you know what sin will do. And I'm watching you turn around. I have a question. How? How is it possible? How can you do this? What is your reasoning? What is your senses? How can you make this decision? He said, after God has brought you out of bondage, you are desiring to go back into bondage. After you have experienced liberty, you want to go back. After you've been made free from jail, you want to go back to jail. Oh my, I don't understand this, he's saying. How? How is this possible? How can this happen? Not only how can it happen, how can you do this? Amen. There is this writer here, the Apostle Paul, is looking at a people that he knew from the beginning. He knew what they came out of. He knew what God had did for them. And now he's watching them make a choice to go back. Amen. God help us today to preach this morning on this right here. The Lord knows exactly whose heart he would like to speak to in this service this morning. But I feel like the Lord would like to speak to someone right here this morning. You know that there is a push, or there is a large encouraging force in our society that teaches from the Word of God that it is impossible to go back. And it is what I would call an easy believism. It's so easy to believe that. It's easy on the flesh. And it actually goes with a teaching that it's impossible to live right. There's actually those that will tell you it is impossible for you to live for God. But the same people will tell you it's impossible for you to go to hell. So it's an easy believism. You can't live right and you can't die wrong. I mean, they've got an explanation for everything from suicide to drug abuse and drunks dying on the side of the road, everything. I mean, get up at them funerals and die drunk and tell about when they was 13, they cried, you know, four crocodile tears on the altar and prayed through, and man, they're shouting on the hills of glory. They've done all kinds of wickedness and sin all their life. It's an easy believism. Man, anybody can believe that. Man, go to church one time, pray through, and go out and live however you want to live. Everybody's going to heaven. Friend, everybody ain't going to heaven. The Bible is very plain that everybody is not going to heaven. Now, I don't want to, you know, dig a hole here and whatever. I just wanted to let you know right now, square right, look you right now and tell you, I believe you can backslide. I believe you can be genuinely saved and fall away and die and go to hell. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter number 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33 that if a righteous man commits iniquity, he shall die in his iniquity if he don't turn. The Bible tells us, amen, that you right here turn again to the weak and beggarly elements. And so, I don't believe that easy believism. I don't think that we should believe that easy believism. Go out there and tell them football coaches getting ready for the big day, you know, the Super Bowl. Tell them, say, you're too hard on those players. They don't need to exercise. They don't need to eat right. They don't need to do all this, you know, all of that and different things, you know. And that's talking about one team said it's safe down there, talking about tornado season, said it's been so long since there had been a touchdown there, said you're safe with tornadoes, you know. Talking about tornado season come around, said get over on that football field, said they ain't had a touchdown in years. But tell them football coaches, them college football coaches, that they're too hard on their players. Said, you know, tell them coaches that
send them boys on the track to race. Said, you know, you're too hard on them. Said, they don't have to, you know, exercise or run or jump hoops or whatever. And they'd tell you, you know, they'd laugh at you and say, you know, you're affecting my people wrong. You're affecting this team wrong. Said, get out of here. Don't lie to them. We won't win. Now I want to tell you today, amen, if we're going to win, hallelujah, we're going to have to, amen, put something into it. It's going to take more than an easy believism. It's going to take more, amen, than five words at the altar and then live however you want to live. I remember my uncle prayed, and he lived rough, and the old preacher told him, said, now I want to tell you, his name was Sam like mine, and he said, Sam, preacher got up and said, Sam, he just prayed through and got saved. He said, Sam, if you go out and murder somebody tomorrow, and you're on the run, the cop shoots you and die, you'll go to heaven. Yeah. My dad said, my grandpa said, Sam, you know that you'd go straight to hell if that's what happened. That's called an easy believism. Just believe, just make up this fantasy in your mind and believe it. That nothing, you know, you can't turn back. But we've seen many in our life, we've seen many in the house of God that had the real thing and turned back. And the Apostle Paul is wanting to understand, how do you do that? How do you go back? How does the dog go back to his vomit? How does the sow that is washed go back to the wallowing in her mire? Amen. How? He said the end of that person is worse than the beginning. He said it had been better if they'd have never known than for them to know and turn away from God. Amen. Known God, knowing what God can do, known of God. The Bible said here, after you have known God, amen, knowing who He is. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. Somebody wrote a song. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. He said, who do men say that I am? They said, some of you say you're Jeremiah. Some of you say, some say that it's one of the prophets. Amen. Or Elias. He said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, amen, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. After you have known God, or rather known of God, after you know what God can do in a life, after you've seen God turn things around, after you've seen God answer prayer after prayer after prayer, after you've seen God deliver and set free, how can you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements of this world? After you've known what God can do, amen, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen, I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. Amen, Peter said in his writing, said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Amen. A bunch of preachers didn't get together and said, this sounds like a good idea. This sounds like a good doctrine. No, it was made witness, amen, made unknown unto us. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And I'm here to tell you, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I was there when He saved me. I was there when He delivered me. I was there when He set me free. I was there when He changed my life. I wasn't a bad boy. I don't guess, you know. I guess it could have been a matter of opinion, but, you know, never got off into, you know, bad things by the grace of God. I'm here to tell you today, I don't know what alcohol tastes like. Never tasted it, and I give God glory for that. Amen. I don't know, amen, what a cigarette tastes like. I thank God for that. I've never had one in my mouth by the grace of God, and I thank God for that. Amen. I was raised in a godly family and a godly home. Amen. I don't ever remember cussing or cursing. Amen. I don't ever remember, you know, putting out foul language. I thank God that I've, amen, don't know what drugs are, nothing like that. I'm telling you, I was lost, and I was going to the same devil's hell as the worst serial murderer. Amen. I was bound for hell just like the worst child, amen, molester. I was going to a devil's hell. Amen.
amen, just like the worst sinner in the world. I was the chief of sinners. It was my sin that put him to the cross. Amen. I was lost without God. And one night on a Wednesday night service, I can't tell you what my dad preached that night. I forgot. I don't remember. But as a 9-year-old boy, something touched my heart that night. And I gave my heart to the Lord. I don't know. I can't explain it, friend. But something happened on the inside of me. I remember him saying, amen, Samuel, have you never been saved? I said, no, I've never been saved. As the tears kept running, I didn't understand why. But the Lord transformed me that night. The Lord saved my soul. And all I can tell you, when I got up from that altar as a little boy, the whole world looked different. Everything looked different. My brothers and sisters looked different. My mom and dad looked different. Everything was different. Amen. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to act. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. All I knew is I felt like I was walking on clouds. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, he saved me that night. And after I've known God and what he's done for me, and how he's touched my life and filled me with the Holy Ghost, how can I turn again to the weak and beggarly elements?
The Bible says in Hebrews, amen, after we've been renewed unto repentance, it says, once enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Tasted the heavenly gift. I thank God, amen, for that heavenly gift. I thank God for his presence. I thank God for the sweet Holy Ghost. Amen, said, have tasted the heavenly gift. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've tasted that heavenly gift. Amen, said, amen, we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for, amen, the touch of the Holy Ghost on my life. Amen, when they're singing that song, he didn't have to save me, but he did. And then after I was made partaker of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God. Amen. The blessed word of God. Hallelujah. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. After you've tasted the good word of God, amen, I've been there when the preacher spread the word of God out, and it just fed my soul, and I tasted the good word of God. I've been there on dark nights when I didn't know what I was going to do, and I opened the word of God, and I tasted the word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, how can you go back after you've tasted the word of God? Hallelujah. If they shall fall away, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. How do we turn again after we've known? Experience the goodness of God, the touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of God in prayer. The power of God in walking right and living right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God after I've known God, or rather known of God. Amen. The times that the Lord's come by and touched me. Can you remember, amen, the times that the Lord has come by and touched us? Hallelujah. And I know that God is faithful and true. Amen. And able to help us because he's helped us many, many times. Amen. Listen to what he said. Tasted the heavenly gift. Glory to God. The Bible says it's the tongues of men and angels. Amen. Hallelujah. There's the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost, I want you to know when the Lord baptized me with the Holy Ghost, amen, it's just like somebody poured water on me right there. Amen. It went right down through like this right here. Amen. Got right about right there, started speaking in tongues. Amen. And went all the way down, except it wasn't just going on the outside, it's going on the inside too. Hallelujah. Amen. After I've tasted that, the times, Brother Curtis, when I've been low and the good, sweet Holy Ghost come by, amen, and touch me. Amen. The presence
presence of God sweep in a service. I'm sitting there thinking, I can't wait till service gets over. And then some old sister gets up and starts singing, or some brother starts testifying, and all of a sudden, 5 minutes before I said, I can't wait to go eat, and then the Holy Ghost come by, and now I'm saying, man, I hope this lasts all day. I hope they don't stop singing. I hope they don't stop testifying. Amen. After I've known God, or rather known of God, how could I turn back to that? How could I ever look back? Amen. After what God has showed me. After you've known God or known of God, how could we go back? I can understand people that don't know. That old preacher goes over there to Africa, and you know, he from America, and he knew. He goes over this remote village, and he sees these boys playing like marbles. You know, they put marbles and throw down and bust them out, and they had a circle, you know, and you know how they play marbles. They was literally playing a game of marbles with local, you know, just little rocks. He got to see them sparkle. He said, man, them are the most beautiful little rocks I've ever seen. Like some of them smooth and all that. And he went to investigating. They was playing marbles with diamonds. These little boys in this little village, amen. See, they'll draw a circle and put all of them there, and they'll take one. He said, "I look." He said, "They was real diamonds. They was playing marbles with diamonds, amen." But they didn't know what they had. They never knew. Now I've seen people, amen, take the Word of God and set it up on a shelf and let it get dust on it. They didn't know that book could change their life. They didn't know that book could change their marriage. They didn't know that book could save their children. They didn't know that book would calm the fevered brow. They didn't know that book would send revival. Amen. But there are those that know, and they still let dust get on the book. They still never open it up. Amen. He said they didn't even know they was playing marbles with diamonds. He said, I come back to America. You might have heard about it. He said, and I went in my pulpit, and the Spirit of the Lord said, those in Africa are playing marbles with diamonds. And he said, those right here in this church are playing marbles with diamonds. They don't realize what they're playing with. They don't realize, amen, the power of amazing grace. They don't realize, amen, the blessedness in thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, after you've known God and the power of God, amen, how could we turn back? Somebody say, there's nothing to go back to. After all God's done for me. After all God's done for you. And the devil comes by and offers you something.
Amen.
Weak and beggarly elements.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Weak and beggarly elements. After I have known God, or rather known of God, how could I go back to these weak and beggarly elements? You see, not only do I know all I've preached about this morning, but I also know what these weak and beggarly elements are too. The sin. The mamas that have come and cried, said, I just want to be with my babies. But there's an addiction there. There's a beggarly element that drives them. The daddies just say, my marriage is busting up. My home's busting up. Because of alcohol, because of drugs, because of cheating and lying and pornography or whatever. Lust. Preacher, pray for me.
Yeah.
I've been there. Amen. Where they fell on this altar. Amen. On Sunday morning and begged and cried and said, God, deliver me from these weak and beggarly elements. I've been in this sanctuary where people called and said, are you the pastor? I need to talk to you. Said, I need help. My home is busting up. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a sinner. I'm hooked. it. Amen. I need help. I've been there before where I pulled up at the church and said, who's here? Who's here? Amen. Thought, well, man, why is this truck here? It was late in the evening. And walk around the church and there's a man on the backside of the church weeping and crying. I said, hey, can I help you? Oh, no, I just, want to come by. He wasn't a member of the church, but his home was busting up because of infidelity and adultery in his life. Amen. Preacher, I need help from God. We'd go down to the altar. You've been there. You've seen them. You got family. You got friends. You've been there before. Hello. I preached in the prison where men laid on the concrete floor and the officers come and said, let's go back home. And they got up and the tears and snot was there because they missed home. They missed family. They missed grandma's prayers. They missed the presence of God. And somehow, while the preacher was preaching, the Holy Ghost gave them a touch. But those weak and beggarly elements have destroyed their life. And they say, preacher, if you'll just pray for me, when I get out of here, I'll do right. You've been there before. You know what those, come on, can I get a witness? You know what those weak and beggarly elements can do to your life. And so when you got the chart, and then we got the blackboard up here this morning, and we wrote it all out, the power and the touch of God that we all know, the touch of the Holy Ghost that we've experienced, the sweet peace of God in our life. Amen. And then these weak and beggarly elements, this lust and pride and drugs, amen, all these things of the world. How in the world can you choose that? How in the world can you choose that? I can't even scratch the surface in preaching about the glory and the peace and the joy and the touch of God. And I can't even scratch the surface in the misery and the tears and the heartache and the pain and the regret and the trouble and the turmoil. The Bible said the wicked are like a troubled sea that casteth up dirt and mire. There is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. I can't even scratch the surface of the sorrow, the pain. People live, amen, in a shack. Amen. Go and just do things you can't even imagine. Amen. Because of those weak and beggarly elements. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Now I'm preaching on how. How can you turn again? How can you choose that? How? Paul says, how? Amen. He said, how? He said, hey, there's a time you loved me so much. If it was possible, you'd have pulled out your eyes and gave them to me. If you knew that your eye would help me, you loved what I preached so much, you loved the presence of God so much, you'd have pulled out your eye and said, take my eye. I'll be blind. Amen. But I love what you're preaching. And he said, now you're my enemy. Now you hate me because I'm telling you the truth. And he said, I've got one three-letter word for you, and that is how. How's it possible? How is it? Where? What happened? Oh God, weak and beggarly elements. The Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'm out of time this morning. But Demas loved the present world, that the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, 1 John 2:15, 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, it is of the world. Verse 17, you've read it. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father, hallelujah, shall abide forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Demas hath forsaken me. I don't know if he ever got right. I don't know if he ever lived for God. Amen. But Demas loved the present world. What did he love? Did he love that fast car? Did he love that new Camaro? Did he love the shining lights? Amen. The bars, the saloon, the cards. Amen. All of that. What was was it the fun? What did he like? What was it that he liked? I remember one time, I was flying back from Mexico. Landed in Arizona and got stuck in customs coming through there. And you know, when you land back, it takes you a while. Well, I had a connecting flight to Dallas. And I ran, you never seen a fat boy run like I ran through that airport. I figured out, and I had to run for a long ways. I figured out, you know, people will stand there and look at those big old boards. I mean, they're as long as this church. They'll have all them flights. So there'll be 20 people standing there. I figured out they'll stand back a little bit. Man, it's just like a runway in between there. You can gain speed. I was passing the carts. I was passing them all. I ran down there, ran right on my plane and got in there and sat down, got in my, they was loaded up. I mean, that was the last one on. Shut the door and got in there, and they come over and said, our flight to Vegas. I said, hold on just a minute. I ain't going to Vegas. I got on the wrong plane. Hallelujah. I jumped up from the back of that seat and ran up there. I said, I ain't going to Vegas. I'm going to Dallas. I'm on the wrong plane. Let me off here. They let me off. I said, now where do I go? I know I got to get there now. I'd been away from mama too long, and I was ready to come home. Amen. And I'm telling you, I was ready to come, and I was going to get on that plane no matter what. And she said, well, this is the flight. She said, we're just going to go to Vegas and then to Dallas. I said, oh. I said, oh. She said, and so I would have got home later if I'd have waited and got on that Dallas flight. And, it would have took. So I just, well, whatever's quicker, let's go to Vegas. And so I sat down back there. You know what's going on from Phoenix to all these people going to Vegas. They got a party. I sat right in the middle of a bunch of them, you know, carrying on. Sat by this young girl sitting right there and got to pull out my Bible, got to reading, got to talking to her. Amen. She was a member of a big church in Houston. Amen. I said, what in the world are you going to Vegas for? She's having a vacation or whatever. Go ahead, Sister Bethany. I'm almost done. I got to preaching that girl. She said, you've ruined my trip. I said, what if Jesus comes while you're in Vegas? What if the Lord comes back while you're here? Amen. She wasn't married. She was single. She was going to go out there and have a great time in Las Vegas. And she ended up going. She got off that plane. And the last thing I told that young girl when she got off that plane, I said, you don't do one thing that you wouldn't do if you knew the Lord would come at that moment. I remember all her friends and everything. They were sitting all around. They didn't want to talk to me. I'm telling you, there ain't no lot in Vegas. There ain't no slot machine in Vegas. Amen. There ain't no bar in Vegas. There ain't no good time in Vegas that is worth going to hell over. Demas hath forsaken me. Let's say he was a young man and lived 100 years. He probably died soon after if he didn't get right with God. That's the way sin is. Let's say he was young and he lived 80 more years. Demas wasn't 20 years old. He was an older man, but let's just say he was lived 80 years. Maybe young people here today. Let's say he lived 80 years. He probably, Sister Maria, had the most miserable life of any person. Because that's the way backsliders are. They're miserable.
Amen.
They're miserable with themselves. They're miserable with their family. They're miserable with everything. Because once you've tasted and you know. Let's just say he had it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade with all expenses paid. Let's just say it was all cool in the breeze. He had all the girls he wanted, all the things he wanted. You know that's not what happened, because that's not what sin deals in the end. Let's say he died a millionaire. Let's say he was the happiest man ever. Let's just say all that. He's already been in hell over 1,700 years. If he lived 80 years. Crying for a drop of water. Begging for mercy. Was it worth it? All that the devil will offer you, young people, is nothing but weak and beggarly elements. And if he came through on his deals, which he don't, He don't come through on his deals because he's a liar and the father of it. Can I get a witness? That boy smokes that first joint. He don't see his days in prison. That man buys that pornography. He don't see the tears of a broken home and a broken family. That girl goes in that bar to have a good time. She don't see the future of children being raised by somebody else. That man who takes that pill don't see that needle and all the rest, but it's weak and beggarly elements. When this morning we can have the touch of God on our life. When this morning we can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That man says, I'll be all right. He don't realize the diseases and sexually transmitted diseases he'll have one day. He walks away from that wife and family. Come on, church, y'all with me this morning. They're weak and beggarly elements. And after you have known God, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. After you have known God, or are rather known of God, after you know what God can do to your life, sir, son, preacher, man, sister, brother, after you know the peace of God in your life, how can you turn back to those things? After you know the power of the Holy Ghost, the joy of God in your life, you can say with your own mouth, this is the best days of my life. But you get in a hard time. You get in a stressful moment. You make some bad choices. You just throw it all to the side and say, forget it. I'm going back. How can you go back? You mean you want it all? You can go back to jail? You can go back to addictions? You can go back to brokenness? You can go back to all of that? That's what you're going back to. Hey, listen right here this morning. Listen right here. I take one step back this morning. I may not feel the thorns. I may not feel the thistles. I may not feel all that because I'm sitting right here in the church. I'm sitting right here in the house of God. I may not feel it, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to just let that turn around. You'll get farther down the path than you could even imagine. He said, you desire again to be in bondage. There's demons out there that will grab you on the path on the way to hell and hold you down, bind you up. And there's young people sitting in the house of God with the presence of God, the touch of God, and they made a choice. I'm going to go to this college when the Holy Ghost was telling them to go to another. They said, I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this job. When the Spirit of God was telling another, listen, I don't know the future, but the Holy Ghost knows the future. He is God. The Bible says he shall tell you things to come. And when the Holy Ghost tells you something, you mark it down. He knows the future. And I want to tell you, I'm in an atmosphere. There's carpet. There's carpet right here and everything. When I turn, I don't feel it right now. And I've already started on that path. You're here this morning, you've already started on that path. You've already started going back. I want to know this morning, what is at the end of your road? I'm through preaching this morning. Church, pray for me right here. We're getting this altar. What you ought to do is get up from where you are, come out from where you are, and come to this altar. I can't go back. Not everybody yet knows they need prayer this morning.
The devil's trying to get me to go back. You're here this morning. You're here this morning. You're in this house this morning. Brother Sam's preached to you because he loves you and he cares about you. Why are you going back? Don't you get up and come to this altar this morning. I'm pulling for you this morning. I may not even know who I'm pulling for. I may... Why don't you go back? Come on. What is there, come on, to go back to? Weak, beggarly elements? You've been touched with the Holy Ghost. When you've been anointed, when you've had the fire of God in your life, when you've prayed, prayers have been answered. The church is coming. Different ones are coming, but there's still some others. You need to come right now. You need to come. You need to come. She's singing. They're still coming. They're still coming.
Jesus,
I surrender.
Surrender.
We're going to pray for these. They're still coming.
Jesus, I surrender. Jesus,
after what God's given you in your life,
surrender.
That touch of God in your heart, that experience of God in your life. Come on.
Oh, Jesus,
I can't go back to sin.
Surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all.
Let's gather around and pray this.
Jesus, I surrender all.
Jesus. Find somebody to pray with this morning. I know you might want to pray, but there are those here this morning that need prayer. Let's pray for them this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender.